Gematria 506 is equivalent to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love, and also to the name of God Bab Shin Resh, which deals with memories, and more than memories, to see the patterns in our life, which is what memories are made of. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sadvenu Taharenu No Ra Kufreshayim Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, Kra, which means tear up, and Satan, which is the name of the negative force that gives us free will. The same six letters can be rearranged to spell Sha'ar Katan, and they represent, Sha'ar Katan means small gates, and it's a hint reminding us to guard our gates, the eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, which are the entry points for the negative system. Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nun Gibor Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet, through its gematria of 57, connects us to the Hebrew word zan, which means parnasah, or sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that helps us take back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem Taharem Rachame Sidkacha Tamid This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Netzach and its attribute of eternal victory. Hasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nael Adatach Het Kuf Bet Het Nunayin. This sequence connects us to the Sefirah of Hod and its attribute of appreciation and thankfulness. Yachid Geah Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, our generation. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziyakatenu Yodea Dalumot Shinkuvav Tzaviyutav. Kaf created the planet Lavana, the moon, and the Chet created the constellation Sartan, which is the crab, also Cancer, also known as Cancer. And it also created the Hebrew month of Tammuz. The first two letters of the sequence, Kuf and Shin, or Shin and Kuf, have a gematria of 400. 400 represents perfection and completion. The last four letters have a gematria of 506, like the first verse. And this teaches us that the connection to unconditional love is important on the path to completion. And to reach perfection, we need to inject unconditional love in each step of our process. And it also teaches us to remember the patterns that we have made in our lives and to change the actions to do them correctly, as opposed to what previous patterns have taught us, doing it incorrect. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper, but I will say it out loud for the purposes of teaching. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Le'olam Va'ed.
I'm going to read a verse from the Parshat Truma. This is a period of the 3 weeks, the narrow straits of 3 weeks, where we don't have the Zohar, because the Zohar represents the inner essence of Torah. And during this period, the light is too strong for the vessel. So we need to veil that light. And so the Zohar is concealed in other aspects, in other parashiyot. Verse 3 of 6, Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunenehu. Zakayin inun tzadikaya tedachalin lemarechon v'alma adein lemizke bilat miyache v'alma biati ata rabi Shimon uvarke v'rabi yaba amar rabi Shimon zakayin atun banai v'zaka'a Ana de enai chamu bekach, kama duptin ilain metatkenan lan, un hirin lan lealma diate. Happy are the righteous who fear their master in this world, to merit three rests, which are nefesh, ruach, and neshama, in the world to come. Rabbi Shimon came and blessed Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Shimon said, happy are you, my children, and happy am I, that my eyes saw this, that many supernal places are prepared for us and illuminate for us for the world to come. This section that I just opened up to at random is titled Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama. And in the Parsha of Truma, it's talking about many different levels of temple service. But reading this verse, one thing that might come to mind to you but probably didn't, this idea of three rests, indicating that in the world to come, there will be bodies inhabited by nefeshot. There will be bodies that are inhabited by ruachiot. There'll be bodies inhabited by neshamot. And each of these levels of consciousness have a different aspect, a different approach, a different desire for pleasure. And so these bodies are going to congregate into these three rests, into places, maybe three worlds, maybe the same world in three different aspects. We have to wait to see. There hasn't been, to my knowledge, any prophecies along those lines. But I see the three rests, and with Rabbi Ashlag's comment, Nefesh, Ruach, and Neshama, he's really saying the purpose of life, of course, is the soul, and to correct the soul. But as part of the correction of the soul teaches the body how to behave. And when that correction is complete, the body then knows what to do. And so we all think that our bodies will be resurrected with the three levels of soul, but they may not be. It could very well be that the body will be different levels. Because different bodies, for most people, different bodies were utilized in the correction of their nefesh, then in the correction of their neshama, then in the correction of their ruach. Just a comment of mine. Does anybody have any questions?
I did about the 3 week period. You were talking about the vessel being too strong for the light. This is such a difficult period.
Yes.
But it's also a period like probably the biggest opportunity for change.
It is the best period, except because the light is the strongest, easiest to connect to, if you have the vessel for it. The metaphors that I don't typically use in my beginning classes, until I get a question like this, so I'm glad you asked it. The metaphor that's used is the electric circuits in the home. If you plug in a refrigerator into that circuit, it works fine. You plug in an electric light bulb with 110 volts light, it works fine. The vessel and the light are in sync. But plug a 220 volt air conditioner into a 110 outlet, and what do you get?
Doesn't run.
Too much light for the vessel. That's the problem in this 3-week period. If we have the vessel, it's absolutely serene. But most people, and talking, even the Kabbalists have difficulty in this 3-week period.
And it's the only 3-week period out of the whole year? It's the strongest period?
This is the most negative period of the year. And it goes across 2 months, the last 2 weeks of Tammuz in the first week of Av.
So Tammuz in July, or Cancer?
Yes.
Okay.
Mensur and Av is Leo. So it's called the 3 weeks of being between the straits. And that's the idea of the limitation. The straits represent the Hebrew word Mensar, which is what the word Egypt, Mitzrayim, comes from. Is indicating a consciousness of limitation. The vessel is limited during this period.
That's really interesting for me, because of my birthday is just right at the end of that.
Right.
And I have always thought of your birthday as being New Year's. January 1st is nothing to me, except Gregorian, you know.
It's actually, if the man from Nazareth was born on the 25th,
born
he
in
wasn't.
July or something,
no,
yeah.
He wasn't, but
yeah.
If he was, then New Year's would be his Brit, his circumcision.
Oh,
so that's the celebration that some people try and achieve.
Oh, okay. But, your birthday, I've always thought it's been starting your new cycle, and they say that during your birthday, I keep talking about my birthday all the time, but it's coming up, and this is such a chaotic time, but on your birthday, during the time of your birth, you know, I was born at 4:20 p.m., like, the 2 hours before and the 2 hours after, if you visualize whatever it is that you want to manifest, that's the most powerful time of the spirit.
That is correct. Your birthday is the start of your cycle.
Mm-hmm.
People don't make that connection. But you have the opportunity to reconnect, Keter, with all of your potential of your whole life. You were given a potential when you came into this world. That potential we call Keter, it's crown.
Uh-huh.
Crown, what makes a king? Wearing a crown? Or because he's already king, he's able to wear the crown? So the idea of the crown is it's outside of you. You're able to connect to that potential, whatever your potential is, at any age. So that if you didn't accomplish your potential as a 20-year-old and you're now 60, you can still manifest the potential that you had available to you in your 20s. And this is the idea that what the birthday is. So it's not a question of getting a birthday party with cakes and candles, but it is important that you express yourself that day. Because your connection to your Keter, to your wisdom, is going to be the strongest on that day.
I think it's important. Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny is I was born 3 weeks late.
No, that's a wrong statement. No one is born late or early.
Oh,
everyone,
well, I was meant to be
everyone is born at the exact right time for them.
Yeah.
People choose the moment of their birth based on the astrological influences that would impel them towards their correction. What it's all about.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying I surprised everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I would never want to get a good chance.
any other questions? Let me make sure that people people can be heard. So
it happened.
Changed the overall assumption so you can be heard.
Oh.
Are you all right?
Okay.
Do you have any questions before we start?
No.
Now, Bernice, with the dog in the background, I have to change it. So in order for you to ask a question, you'll have to press star 6. Okay. The subject today is called Tshuva. It's spelled T-S-H-U-V-A. But it's really a Hebrew word that when you look at the Hebrew, it's spelled Tashuv He. The He at the end of a word represents the physical world. Tashuv is a Hebrew word that means return. The whole idea of tshuva is to reconnect the spiritual world with the physical world. While I'm describing this metaphorically, it's actually not just metaphorically. When we do a chet, a sin, a mistake, a missing of the mark, a giving of energy to the negative system, these are all the understandings in Hebrew of what is a sin. It's not the idea of what the Western world views sin as. It's very different. It's simply a mistake. When we do a mistake, we disconnect the spiritual world from the physical world. And what is the effect of that? The Shefa, the goodness of the Creator, has nowhere to go. It cannot be completed. It does not fall or flow into the physical world. And it's only when we reconnect that physical world to the spiritual world through tshuva do we connect to that Shefa, connect to that goodness of God. If people understood this, they'd be doing tshuva all the time. And that's what is recommended to every evening. Keep a diary or a journal and evaluate your day. Who did you hurt? Who hurt you? Who can you forgive? Who can you ask for forgiveness? What mistakes did you make? How could you have done something better? What didn't you do that you could have done? These are all basic questions a spiritual person should be asking. Not should and must, but recommended to do. As you ask these questions, as you do this evaluation, it's called in Hebrew cheshbon, calculation. As you do this evaluation, you get opportunities to realize the mistakes that you made. Now, you can do this every day, which is what's recommended. You can do this once a week, which some people do because we live in a very busy times. But you set an hour a week aside where nobody can call you, nobody can bother you, and you think back over the last week. Who did you see? What did you do? How did you react? All of the issues about your week. And then there are things that we've done in previous years. And starting right after Tisha B'Av, that three-week period, we end up with a period of 7 weeks leading up to the new year. In those 7 weeks, it is the best time, the easiest time, to do tshuva. The metaphor that's used is to say If you had a problem that you had to go to the king to get redressed, and you made an appointment, you'd have to wait 6 months till you could see him through his many appointment secretaries and all of the process of his life. By the time you got there, it could be a year down the road. It's difficult to see the king in a normal business environment. But during this month of Elul, which is coming up after Av, this month of Elul is a period where the king is on vacation. He's in the field. He's just standing there waiting for you to come talk to him.
During
the 7 week period, primarily the last four or five weeks. During that period, he's waiting there for you to talk to him. That's the whole process. It's an easier time to connect to the king, to ask for forgiveness, to do the actions of tshuva. And tshuva is very real. You started earlier before the recording about talking about time and time travel, that we could only go forward in time.